the last guy I was ever with, like years ago, I was with we were having sex and my dog came up and started licking his asshole.
Yeah, that's happened.
To you, it's happened?
Yeah.
Wait, it happened to you?
I've had an animal in there. Yeah, that I didn't know was around. I was like, what the fuck's going on? Because I could see her hands. I could see her hands. And all of a sudden I felt something. I was like, what are you doing? I turned around and it's just a fucking, like a boxer action mix. Like, holy fuck.
Wait, so what happened? Did you like... Did you move or did you keep
going?
Yeah,
I stopped. It wasn't what I was looking for. It wasn't. It was fucking weird. One. All right. Hello and welcome to Stand By with JJ and Francisco.
What's up?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. And we have an amazing guest tonight.
We sure do. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we got Madison Sinclair with us, hey. Writer from the Tosh.0 and from the Alec Baldwin roast, and outstanding stand-up comedian. Thanks for coming in to hang out with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you. And and we also are rep by the same manager.
Yes.
You brought it up right away.
She brought it up.
I literally said, let's not, because we didn't know this. We've only just found out.
That's why I wanted to bring it up.
All right. So
that's
shout
it.
Shout out to Justin. Look,
he's the best. He's like my dad, feel like.
Really?
I feel like he's my surrogate dad. I've put that on him. He didn't take that role.
Were you about to say I don't have a dad?
I don't have a dad.
I don't have a dad. It's Justin, isn't
it? It's Justin's
right.
My dad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He's really going to – he's glowing. Yeah. He's glowing at home right now.
We're like, he's not that bad. He's good.
He's not bad. I mean, he's usually jolly and happy when he shows up at a gig, and he thinks everything's amazing, which I guess is what you need.
Yeah, he's more like a stepdad.
From a manager. That's what it is.
Where he's always trying to please me. I'm like, come on. Come on, just ground me once in a while. You know what I mean?
That is how it works, isn't it? He's a jolly, he's trying to make everything happy. And you're like, this isn't, you're not my real dad. And then you just storm away. So it's we like to think it's about travel. We've got a plane in our logo. That's how.
Yeah, standby when you're traveling. It's all about travel, but obviously we don't.
Yeah, it's just an
we
excuse.
Don't have to talk about travel.
But am I correct? That you are from Florida, but you were just on the road. You're just back from the road, correct?
Yes. I went back to Florida for a couple weeks. I also went to New York. First time in New York since COVID. And I feel like the shows are so much more fun there than they are here.
Yes.
And it's also cool. You can do like four or five shows in a night.
It's much easier. Here, like if you do two, you're like, wow, you did two.
Yeah, that's a lot. A lot of traffic.
That's great. You were in New York when? Like for COVID, you said? Or?
But it was my first time since COVID. So I was last week and a half. I feel like I've lost track of time. Week before Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I was just there too for the New York Comedy Festival.
Oh, cool.
New York is great. Just performing. It's just so much. I always get better, I feel like, every time I go there. Right?
Like, I had a lot of half-cooked bits, and like now they're fully flushed out.
Yeah,
and within one night, it went from like
like
an unfinished bit to like a finished bit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this would be so great if I lived here and could do this all the time.
And just even like the walking and the going, taking the subway, you're working your bits as you're like going through the other set, you know what I mean, or the other show. Here's like, you're driving, and you know, you don't have that kind of like continuous
mental preparation time. It sounds like a lot like London, like when I lived in London, which is I chose Los Angeles over New York when I moved to America. But yes, in London, that was the great thing, getting on the underground, running through your notes, having just finished a gig and a few stops. It's perfect. I was in New York State last week, too. Were we all in New York State?
We might have been.
But you were in the city.
I was in Buffalo. I was in Buffalo. It's
you're close to your country.
I was very close. We went to Niagara Falls to kill the day in Buffalo. And then the show at night, which... It was good. Niagara Falls. The American side of Niagara Falls is shit.
It's the worst one. I was gonna say it's crazy in Canada.
I had only heard this because growing up in Canada, we hear that we have the better side.
And what is better?
Well, it's a better view. You can actually see the Horseshoe Falls. You know, the like the big scenic Falls is more visible from the Canadian side, mm-hmm. whereas the American, my friend put it really well. Steve Wrigley, a New Zealand comic, mm-hmm. he said it's like the American side is like you get to look at the most beautiful woman in the world, but it's the back of her head. You know it's her. You're like, I see her. I see her. But the Canadians on the other side are going, yo, you don't see her the way we see her. We see all of the beautiful woman. And I think that is a good analogy because you can't you can't lean in too far you can't lean in far enough to see the Horseshoe Falls properly. So
have you been there?
In the Canada side. I was a kid though, so I barely remember it.
You got the better side. It's all kitschy. Do you remember kitschy things from it?
No, I remember vaguely being on a boat and getting wet, and that's
right,
it.
Right, the Maid of the Mist.
Mm. The only thing I've been to Buffalo, and I didn't go into the U.S. side, but the only, more of my memories of the Niagara Falls is from the movie Superman, like the
right.
1970s one, yeah. where the guy, the kid falls, and right?
You'll have to remind me of the scene. Go ahead, walk us
It's the only scene when they're in Niagara Falls and some kid is he falls, and then, and Superman comes and saves him.
Right, yeah.
That's how I know. That's my knowledge of Niagara Falls.
That's what you think.
That's what I thought. I was like, okay.
Hey, that's...
But I don't know if that was in the American side or the Canadian side.
Well... It's both.
What side is better to kill yourself?
Yeah, exactly.
I think straight down the middle. Just follow that line straight down the middle.
Yeah, where's Superman not going to fuck it up?
Yeah. Would you do it? Would you go over the falls in a barrel?
Let's
pose this to our guests.
I don't promote suicide.
Yeah. Let's say Elon Musk has designed the perfect barrel. And he's like, I think this is 99% safe. You can go over the falls. Are you in? Would you trust?
No, I don't. Because I used one of those fire guns that he has. They're wildly unsafe. It's like a flamethrower that he has.
Oh, he has one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Also, the Tesla's like self-driving ability. I feel like I don't trust Elon.
Yeah, those are very...
Yeah, it's been sketchy. It's been a few accidents.
So did you use the flamethrower? How does that
I went on a date with this guy who was friends with him.
Oh.
And then he had a bunch of them and he was like, "You want to play?" He's like, "It's impossible for you to the fire to throw back on you." And wow. I was like, "He's like," and we were drinking and using a flamethrower.
Oh, man.
And I was like, "This is extremely dangerous." And it took one mild gust of wind and it was almost my hair was gone. And I was like, "I don't trust this."
Was this a first date?
Yeah.
Wow, that's big guns.
Yeah.
Calling it. Hey, Elon. I really want to impress this chick. I know you're not going to send me to outer space. What do you got? What do you got that's the second best thing?
When I was going on dates, then the closest thing I was like getting flambé on a restaurant. Hey, that's a little fire.
Yeah, hey, I just have a lighter and a candle. I'm like,
yeah, these guys bringing the guns, big guns.
I didn't even know that Elon. I didn't know he did guns.
He has flamethrowers, and he was this guy had a lot of. This guy
I
was
bet
terrifying.
He's has a bunch of stuff that you're like. Like a big kid that's like, hey, I got this for, for the hell of it.
That's a good point. A whole bunch of shitty startups.
He sold,
he's just logged away. He's bought a whole bunch and just.
It's in the Boring Company. It was one of the things that he did. He just is basically a child with a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if you've seen the show Succession, which I told you was really good on HBO.
I just started watching it last night, actually.
So you're not in the new...
I love spoilers, though.
One of the characters right now in this new season is basically Elon Musk.
Kind
of.
Oh, yeah.
It's played by Skagar, I forget his name, Swedish guy. But he's he's a guy, he does it very well. He's tweets stuff because he's bored. He's like,
Skarsgård.
Skarsgård, yeah. Okay. So he's but he's kind of like that guy. The guy that's so rich that's does whatever he wants and tweets. He's like, I don't care, I don't give a shit. So it's like, I could see Elon Musk just being that guy, so rich that he doesn't give a shit about anything.
Well, this guy he told me this story that he's was talking about this date he had went on. The last date he went on, he went parasailing. And which is a weird first date, I feel like.
Yeah, what? I mean, first of all, those
are some great first dates.
I mean, those are great. Yeah.
I don't stand a chance. I mean, I don't have this move on the.
Let's go
shooting fire guns. What the fuck, man?
I wasn't on this date. It was another girl, and he pulls out a knife and cuts their line. And then they fly up, and then he said they're banned and trespassed from the parasailing company because of how dangerous it was. And the girl said, "I never want to talk to you again." He was like, she got so mad at me.
Wow.
I'm like, hey, you could have killed her. That's
wow.
crazy.
Well, so this
yeah,
guy,
I pulled out a knife and cut her only safety line, and she got so mad at me.
Wow. So I'm realizing that this guy's good at planning dates. He sucks at that. He's like, look, I got a flamethrower, I got a parasailing, but then he tries to fucking commit accidents. It's like, dude, it's like, you don't know how to fucking do this well, man.
At the end of the horrible date, he's like, 50-50.
What? It's parasailing. Yeah, you almost kill her.
The fuck? Can you grade me?
Yeah. I don't know why she. I always get first dates, never get second dates. Yeah, because most of them.
Put your fucking knife away, yeah. dude. Maybe that's got something to do with it.
You want to go to safari, and then it's like, here's the lion. And he's like, fuck. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun enough without cutting every aspect of
I mean, that's how you get the first
it's
dates, but after that, then nobody wants to.
Holy moly.
Know, commit, you know. But that's crazy. That's pretty cool. I mean, that's the thing about, like.
That's very cool. No girl's ever taken me on a first date to go shooting flame guns.
Yeah, I haven't gotten that either.
Same. I feel like, the dates have gotten more boring since our dating women. It's like, been like a.
That's, did he give him a second date?
No.
No,
he didn't get a second
date after the dangerous flambé incidents.
Yeah, I was like, he was also did these like he just had like too much money and did like these self-produced videos, and it was just like he just seemed he wore like red leather jackets with studs all over it. He was just like kind of a cringy man.
It's like the guy from Boogie Nights,
yeah. right?
Alfred Molina.
Yeah, you know, yeah, that like, character. Yeah,
fucking has got the little Asian boy walking around.
Yeah,
I can just picture that. It's like, you just have nothing else to do, right? Like,
it's good to know that even with all the money in the world, like, you still need to not be a douche.
And also, like, that's one of the cool things about the show Succession, because it's about a rich, rich fucking family, but you can tell that they're not happy. I mean, it's like it shows you that, like. All this shit, it doesn't matter how, if you don't have the, like, it doesn't bring happiness, you know, shit, you're still fucking miserable by the end of the day. If you're not, especially if you're trying to kill people in dates, you know.
I just feel like rich people have really bad social skills because, like, people aren't honest with them or telling them no, so they just have, like, no frame of reference
True
of, like,
that.
What is real
also,
life.
And also, I feel like some of them, like, they never had any social friends growing up because they probably... I'm building this, you know, whatever app, whatever, like, and they're like in their room for years and finally they get rich. And now, like, they don't even know how to function because all their time they were like,
that's
stuck. You know
interesting.
What I mean?
Yeah, and they never had to be part of a team to work with people. So they just did their own thing.
Or they go out with people and then, like, and then they think, like, flamethrower is like,
I know what will impress. Dude, just. Taking her, what was it called? What's it called? Sky,
oh, you go to
sky
Paris.
Surfing or whatever.
Oh, yeah, you go parasailing without the knife.
Parasailing, that's enough. Like, could you imagine him telling his friends, like, all right, so here's the idea for a date. We're going to go parasailing. And this guy's friends should all go, stop there. That's you've cracked it. You've done it. Go parasailing. You go, no, you got to hear the rest of it. No, we don't. And you don't need to do the rest of it. Just parasailing is good. Yeah. But can I tell you about the bit with the knife? No knife stuff. No, not necessary. Just stick with part A.
In my experience, women don't like it when you pull knives out on first dates.
I mean, nobody. I don't want to even play thing. Like, even like a sexy thing or whatever. No. Yeah. Not even like fake knives. Knives.
I don't think anybody gets.
Slap me a little bit. That's it.
I had a girl put a razor blade to my throat once.
A razor blade?
A razor blade.
Did you give her a second date?
No, I didn't. Almost did. But then I slept through it. It wasn't even like a purposeful, like, I'm not going to give you a second date.
Wait, you slept through it? Like, what do you mean? Like,
I slept through the second date because it was a brunch.
Oh.
And I woke up. I had a show before and I woke up and I was like,
sorry.
Oh,
they didn't go. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, okay.
But no, she had a razor blade to braids. And she, like, pulled it out while we were having sex and put it to my throat. And I was like, wow. And I was like, I am obsessed with this woman, though. I was like, it's terrifying. I'm not going to date this woman.
Yeah.
But I'm going to think about her.
But that's,
it's
like,
impressive.
Yeah, ballsy move. I mean.
Ballsy move for that only a woman in the context that you just described could ever.
Yeah, if a guy does that.
You're on a list. Yeah, for sure.
You're like, what are you doing?
Guys, you'd never believe it. We're in the middle of having sex, and I went for my razor blade move, and she wasn't having it. Look, these are all the same group of friends.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, guys, just don't do anything crazy.
All of a sudden, I'm bowling. Bowling, I just want to be clear now. I think I'm doing okay with bowling. I'm gonna stick with
it. Even with sex, I don't know. That's, I guess everybody has their own thing. I never liked
violence.
I mean, or if somebody does tells me like, hey, hit me or do that, I'm like, at that point, I'm like, okay, I'm good.
Yeah, that makes me a bit uneasy.
I'm like, well, you got, I don't know, just not my thing, you know.
I completely agree.
Some people like,
and then if the other person stops everything, he goes harder. All right, look, I'm doing my best. I'm pretty much at a level 9 right now. I don't.
You want me to bring the flamethrower?
Let me go get a knife. Here we go.
I just feel like there's already enough element of danger with women sleeping with men. I don't understand why they want to get hit.
I don't understand it. Yeah, I mean, I'm not in, but hey, Twitch is on.
There it is. To each their own.
Well, I want to. So you mentioned you're from Florida. That's where you were born, or you're born in Canada? You said, right?
My dad is from Canada. Okay. He's from Chatham. You know Chatham.
Ontario.
Real struggle.
Well, I'm not from the middle bit. I'm not from Ontario, but I recognized it right away. I recognized the name Chatham. I assume, is it close to Toronto?
Yeah.
Okay, I knew that. I know that one. Yes. So
not
right
much
on.
Going on there.
And then he moved to Florida to start a family.
To be a real estate agent. And he does real estate. But fuck it, he doesn't talk to me anymore. But
I forgot. That's right. Justin's your dad now.
Oh, now my dad. Now Justin's my dad. Yeah, I made one tweet and he called me and he's like, I don't want to be your dad anymore.
Oh.
What?
Yeah.
Is that a real
thing?
Sorry, who are we talking about?
My dad. No, not Justin.
Okay,
yeah.
Biological dad.
My biological father.
Wait, he saw a tweet that you did and he didn't want to.
He was like, I'm out.
Was the tweet about him?
Tweet?
Well, it was about, so my dog swallowed a bolt at Tosh.0 and it cost like $15,000 to repair.
A bone?
A bolt, from a chair.
Mm-hmm.
And I called my dad and I was like, this is so crazy. I was just like telling him everything that was happening. And his first thing was, Madison, don't pay that. Just drop it off the pound. And I was joking. That was a great metaphor of like how he is as a dad. Like one little inconvenience. He was like, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'll get another one.
Yeah.
Right.
And you tweeted that.
I tweeted it. Uh-huh. And then he called me and said, I don't want to be your dad anymore. I'm like, you're proving the tweet right. That's the whole point of the tweet.
First of all, it's a couple.
Please tell me this wasn't a first strike. Like, were you guys already?
Well, also,
I don't
like,
know why we're asking.
Well,
these
no.
It wasn't that it. Like, it was loving. Yeah, I had just seen him the week before. We were celebrating, and then I did one little tweet, and he's like, I'm done. I'm out.
I mean, it's like loving, but like, he's distant. Like, I feel like he's like, we're not like super, you're like, not my best friend, but like, there was no like animosity. But like, also, he did kick me out of the house one time because I spilled avocado on the floor. Like, I was living with him temporarily, and I spilled a little bit of avocado when I was a child, and he was like, she's out of here.
She's your dad. Sounds bipolar or something.
Yeah. How old were you? With avocado?
I was like 12. He was like,
and you get what? No, well then, yeah, then I don't. Yeah, I think it's like then it's your more of your dad's stuff then. Because especially first of all, he knows that you're a comic.
Yeah.
You work in a show that like Tosh.0. That's that's a comedy.
Yeah.
Show.
Yeah.
Comedy Central. It's pretty wild. And then you're putting this tweet out. It's like, there's a joke. It's a funny joke.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I mean, he could even like even gone like, look, I didn't like that joke. Next time, please let me know. Whatever.
Yeah.
But to go all that, it's a little
seems
weird. Yeah.
Very reactionary.
Yeah.
Overly. Sorry.
No, I doubled down. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to make more things about him now. And I did a Madison PI podcast. My mom wanted to see if he cheated on her during the course of their marriage. So I used a voice changer and pretended to buy a house. And I got him to admit to cheating with my mom when they were married. So now it's like.
Did you
don't
torment him all of his life?
No.
Were you just slowly sticking it into him all the time?
No, this awakened it. I was like, now I have to do it. Now I have to do something about this. I'm like, so I had to find out why he shaved his balls.
Okay.
Yeah,
this is like what I call a flamethrower relationship.
With
girl, you know. Yeah. Like, nah. But wow, okay, wow.
Yeah, with a father as well.
Yeah.
Guys, watch this. I'm just going to stir up my dad for my entire life.
It's funny because it's like, I feel like you gotta scratch all the boring questions that we have.
I know. I know.
I'm like, we're gonna.
You know what? Yeah, remember how we told you about our podcast a little while? Fuck that.
Like,
fuck that show.
We're gonna go from this like, is, hey, I got in trouble. I fought with my dad in social media, and I admitted him that he cheated on my mom. By the way, so what was your first move in your comedy career? Like, all right.
Well, we'll be able to get into it slightly with the fact that he moved to Florida, started a family. Did you have a big family, like, in Florida?
I'm the only child.
You didn't allow anybody. I'm not surprised. I'm somehow not surprised.
I mean, I'm surprised because I'm even like, that's your only child? I mean, if you had, like, 10 other
then it's
siblings,
like, yeah, you can
like,
spare
fine.
A few.
It's like, well, yeah, like.
Oh, right. Then you're like, oh, I'm not putting up with that one.
That's even, yeah, wow.
No, that tracks to me. Well, so if you were an only child in Florida, what was it like when you guys would travel as a young family? Or did you do much traveling? That because we like to find out, like, when people go on to become comedians or musicians and, you know, basically artists who end up traveling, we like to find out if you were influenced by that when you were a kid. You know, that sense of adventure or anything like that.
It didn't start when I was a kid. Like, we went to Hawaii and we would go to like some of the beaches and Canada a couple of times. But when I was in college, I studied in London for like a year.
Oh, cool.
And like every weekend, I would go to two countries a week, which was really
fun. Of course.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It's so cheap. Do you like go from there?
Yeah, yeah.
I was obsessed with Amsterdam. I think I went to Amsterdam like 8 times since I was there.
Right.
I loved it. So I feel like that's when I started I really like just like traveling all the time. I really do like just like living out of a suit. I know some people hate traveling. They hate touring.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out a way that I can do it more with 2 dogs, but I love it.
You have 2 dogs now?
Yeah. Oh,
okay. So you still have
you need to get the dog that private
that
jet.
It survived. Yeah.
It survived?
Yeah.
The nut bolt?
The nut bolt, yeah.
The nut bolt. Okay. Yeah. So what happened? They took it out?
Yeah.
They pooped it out?
They had to like do a thing. They had to like put a claw machine down it and grab it.
Yeah.
Oh, like from Dave and Buster.
We're very yeah. technical. Let's talk to our manager at home. If you want to put us up for a medical drama, this is how, Justin, this is how the technical speak. A throaty metal, what did you call it?
Like the claw machine.
A throaty metal claw machine. Stat.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he's still alive. That's cool.
Yeah. And I think it's like, we don't really know because it was like a hoarding situation. I think it's like 8 now.
Mm.
Keeping alive for 8 years. I feel like that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty good. And you have another one.
Yeah, the other one's named Martha.
Martha.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
I got her to like be friends with the other one, but they hate each other. And I joke that I don't like Martha as much.
You joke, but it sounded like it had an element of truth.
Yeah,
to it.
I think.
We have a tattoo of Francis and not Martha, which I think is like.
Do you tease Martha with that?
You're
never going to make the arm.
Wow.
You're not qualified.
Not even. I wouldn't even put her on my lower back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that the worst part?
I don't know. If anything, it's like a prime spot. I don't know. I feel like the lower back is a. It would be weird to have like a dog tramp stamp.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, what?
Yeah, because at that point you go like, I mean, I'd be having a lot of questions while doing it, you know.
Like someone's going to ejaculate on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. That point, like, into dogs.
Or it awakens something in you, and then you would, and then you'd have to.
You become a furry.
You'd be like, great.
Yeah, but that's the thing that you're like getting horny around dogs. So.
I came on your Chewbacca, and I don't know. I just want.
I don't know.
It's awakened something in me. That's fucking horrible.
It'd be hard to look the dog in the eyes and knowing that you. stared at it while. finishing.
Yeah, even having sex with my, you know, I have a dog and a cat. Even like I was like, get out of here! Like you gotta get out of the room. Or like,
do you? This is. I'm curious. Do you close the door before, or does it start?
No, I mean,
because it was spontaneous. And then
he understands. Then they go like under the bed.
They go under the bed.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just don't want to
talk
see
about
them.
Running towards the danger.
No, because they're if you close the door, they're gonna cry or whatever. So it's like, but like, I just don't want to see them.
That would just turn me on more.
I don't want to be like, yeah, like I said, like having like, orgasm and be like, and then I lock eyes with my dog. I mean, like, I don't want that.
who's there like licking his crotch?
Yeah, he's like,
you and me, buddy, you and me.
I mean, yeah, so I don't want that So I tried to be like, I don't, just don't be here. In the bed.
You know. I had a situation like that. Now I have to crate them. Like the last guy I was ever with, like years ago, I was with, we were having sex and my dog came up and started licking his asshole.
Yeah, that's happened.
To you, it's happened?
Yeah.
Wait, it happened to you?
I've had an animal in there, yeah, that I didn't know was around. And I was like, what the fuck's going on? Because I could see her hands. I could see her hands. And all of a sudden I felt something. I was like, what are you doing? I turned around and it was just a fucking, like a boxer action mix. I'm like, holy fuck.
Wait, so what happened? Did you like... Did you move or did you keep
going?
Yeah,
I stopped. It wasn't what I was looking for. It wasn't. It was fucking weird. What's even weird is that she was okay with it. She was like, oh, yeah, it's Rex. And I was like,
oh, my God.
Rex loves that.
He was licking my thigh. No, he likes thighs. It was the weirdest. It wasn't a turn on. But carry on.
So the guy was. So your dog was. The nut with the one with the nut.
What? Yeah.
The one with the bolt.
With the balls.
With the bolt.
With the bolt. Oh no, different dog. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's a different dog.
Different dog. It was Martha. She starts licking his asshole, and he starts yelling my dog's name, and I'm like, why is he calling me my dog's name? And then I've realized everything that happened afterwards, and I have cameras in my apartment to watch my dogs when I'm out of the apartment, so I got it all on camera. And then I didn't tell him I was filming because I forgot. And yeah. I was like, hey, afterwards, I was like, hey, just so you know, I have my security cameras on. I don't have to look at them, but it is on camera. Do you want to see it? And he was like, of course. So I sent him the video. And I'm like, here's the footage.
Did Martha?
So why was he? So he was yelling like, Martha, Martha.
Yeah. And the dog. Yeah.
It wasn't throes of passion.
That's what I was confused about. I was like, why is he thinking about my dog right now? Yeah. Like, what is happening?
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, so on the security camera footage, was Martha approaching timidly? Or was she straight in? She's like, this is a smorgasbord, new to me.
She was aggressive. She's a slut.
Wow. It was a full on lick.
It was she went full into it.
Wow.
Yeah.
God, we uncover the great. We're changing the world. I said we were gonna change the world. Somehow.
Yeah, you see, and that's why I don't want dogs in the bed.
Yeah,
I know. That's why I would lock the doors.
No, because I mean, I don't know how you don't even feel it. The dog coming up in the bed.
No, I didn't even hear it or anything. It just happened. All of a sudden, it happened. It
but wait, wait. So wait, wait. I just want to know. It's like, what's the position? Were you like not looking?
Well, no, I'm looking. It was we were missionary.
Okay, and you're up or down?
I was on top. Or top.
I was like trying to picture how she got
I mission. Think up and yeah, top or bottom.
You piecing it together? Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out that.
And it took me a second to realize her hands were there. Like I could see her hand. I thought it was a hand thing.
So she was on top.
No, I was on top.
Oh, so you could. Okay, so the dog came from behind.
Well, I think the dog came from like the side.
Do you have any security footage that we could review?
Yeah.
I know. Well, now that I've got, I just have to. I mean, it was like 12 or 14 years ago, but I'll get straight on it after the show and say
12,
hey,
14 years ago. That's gonna be grainy footage.
Yeah, I'd probably get a hold of her and she'd be like, "Oh, it happens all the time. I don't want to put me in touch with the other men. I want to hear about how your dog approaches them."
At least it was just a thigh.
Yeah.
Could have been worse.
So really creepy when it's not what you think it is.
It's good to know how many people are on in the bedroom.
Animals. I used to have a cat that was a bit psycho in university, mm-hmm. and that's I guess that's why I'm asking both of you, because I got to lock in the door if he was around, because I know that he'd be swinging at things. You know, if he could, and he was quick. He was in, like, he'd come from 10 feet away, come in, quick swipe at the balls, and then out of there. So I got quite used to going, all right, this all has to happen without him anywhere. Yeah. My cat murdered somebody murdered a cat. Sorry.
Not, oh, I was like, what?
Sorry. Yeah. My cat murdered another. We were drinking on our boat. This is how psycho my college cat was. Shout out to Schooner, long since dead. But I think. I don't know. He might still be alive in the mountains somewhere. But we were on the balcony once drinking a beer, and Schooner was down on the ground. We were two stories up. Just watching him. He's just hanging out. You know, it was Nova Scotia, so we were less worried about having a cat out in the wild. It's not like California. And then there's another cat, and Schooner chased the cat. We just watched as Schooner chased this cat into traffic, and the cat got hit by a car. And I've never seen a less emotional animal, like, in the entire spectrum, because Schooner just chases this cat into a car. Cat's dead. And then Schooner just walked away. Just casually,
like nothing, like,
walked away. Yeah. And we're drinking on my balcony. Everybody's like, that was your cat. And I was like, holy fuck.
Well, cats are like that. They're
assholes.
Yeah, they're assholes. I mean, yeah. Man or female, I think they're all both. They just think they're better than you.
I think
unlike
so.
Dogs, which are the opposite.
They like
you a lot. You know?
Dogs just want to please you.
Yeah.
Welcome to our pets conversation.
Sorry. <yeah. laughs> So I want to go back. So you started but when did you move? When did you start doing comedy? Did you start doing it in Florida?
Yeah, I was in Tallahassee. I was dating a guy who wanted to be a stand-up comic. And
I love these stories. I love it when this happens. When it's a dating thing, but the person who really wants it is shit. And the other person goes, oh, is that
I'm better than this.
Shit. I can do that.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, he was like,
he sucked.
He was like, and I told him, I'm like, this is stupid. Like, I feel like why do you want to be a stand up comic? Like, I thought it was like a bad idea. And I was like, financially, I couldn't see it.
Right.
And I was like, you can make money off that? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, and I've been writing jokes since I was like 12. Like,
you were?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, I love jokes. I was obsessed with stand up, but I just never saw it as like a thing I could do. Because I just didn't think, I guess my dad like drilled in my head about like practicality and like,
you gotta be secure, roll jobs and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And don't drop the avocado on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what did you major? Did you major in something or did you study something?
Yeah, I had 2 degrees. I was political science and then I had an English degree. And at the time I was working at the Capitol.
In D.C.?
Right.
Of Tallahassee, the Florida Capitol.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Actually, for a Republican. She was wild. She, like, wouldn't, for the interview, the only question she cared about is if I'd ever drank. And I was, like, briefed to tell her no.
So that's all she cared about?
Yeah. She's like, okay, good.
Wow. Why is that?
Hates alcohol. Very evangelical.
It's a sin.
Yeah.
The Lord.
Like, oh, really?
What about wine in the church? Okay.
I wasn't aware of that. I didn't know.
No, I don't know.
I'm not religious. I mean, we've talked.
No, I'm just assuming that's probably what it was. Kind of like, because it's like, yeah. You know, bring, you know, the whole evil sins, whatever, you know.
Right.
So you were working there and then you were dating this guy and then you started doing stand-up?
I was in college. We had a writing class together. He was saying he wanted to do stand-up. We started dating. I showed him like jokes and we like kind of like working on bits together. It just like, it just became like this thing. And he went to Toronto and like did some of the bits we worked on and stuff we had talked about. And he called me from there. I was like, hey, the jokes went amazing. Just so you know.
The one that you helped him with.
Yeah.
The ones that you wrote.
Yeah.
You wrote.
And like a concept that I had fully fleshed out. He's like, they killed. And he thought I'd be like excited to hear that. And I was like, all right, I wish you would
ask
me before doing
that. Oh, he didn't ask
you.
No.
I thought he told you. I thought you were working with him.
Yeah, I thought you were helping him and then.
It was kind of, some stuff was off limits and some stuff was like, yeah, we were kind of workshopping it. So it's like this weird gray area.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then he goes over there and he says he got offered a door job. And he's going to move to Canada. And he's going to like, the manager has a spare bedroom and he wants him to live there. And he was like calling me and basically saying he's going to break up with me and that my jokes killed and all the stuff. And it turns out the manager was just like coked out of his mind the way comedy club managers
Madison,
are.
I've got some good news and some bad news. Good news is your jokes kill. The bad news is I'm out of here with your jokes. See you later.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Well, that worked out all right for you then.
Yeah, because at least you went after that. You were like, well, I can actually write better jokes than this guy.
And that was my biggest fear. I think it was like I didn't know if I was funny or capable of being funny because I was always told that like, oh, people laugh at you because they want to fuck you. And I guess I'd internalized that and I didn't know if that was true. Mm-hmm. And then I realized I didn't know if I would actually be funny on stage.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I think
because it's hard for, you know, for everybody to be funny because I dealt with that
too. Yeah, that's often the number one criticism.
It is funny because I did deal with it in the beginning here at the comedy store because people were like, oh, well, you're too good looking to be doing stand-up.
Right,
I'm not saying like I'm a model, but I'm better looking than JJ. Yeah. So like,
I am just good looking enough to be a stand-up for a stand-up. Oh,
but I get that because also it's like sometimes you're going like, yeah, I want to be just funny. You know what I mean? I understand what you're going through because it's like, I'm funny. It doesn't matter. What I look
and when you read criticisms from I don't know, cheap or weaker critics and stuff, that's what they love to drill down on.
Yeah, it's insecurity because they go like, oh, this person's actually funny, but I don't like it because. Mm-hmm. It's insecurity because it goes to like, wait, she's good looking and she's funny, you know, then it's like, whoa, you're having too much. You know what I mean? It's like, no, you can't, you know.
We better take her down.
Yeah.
So. That's why it was good to have my unfuckable ex run the jokes. And he's like, people laughed. I'm like, well, I guess they must be funny.
Yeah, yeah. Because he was.
Perfect. So you're a good looking woman with ugly woman's jokes.
I'm actually picturing the guy from the Goonies. So. You remember the guy from the Goonies?
Yeah.
The chocolate guy. What's his name?
Chunk?
Oh, Chunk. Yeah.
Like, that's his ex. He's Chunk. He's just killing with the good jokes. He's like, well. If it's then you started doing stand-up after this, or
I did like my first open mic, and it was in Tallahassee, and it went really well, and it was because I was like really planned out, like I feel like I'd been planning my whole life for it. The second one didn't go as
It's always good. You always have to have your rough.
But to me, that's always
the
good
10,
sign
think,
when
yeah.
the first one goes, because you're like. That means you got something. The second one is because now you have expectations and you're trying to live to those expectations and it's never going to be
the same. The first one's the important one, isn't it? That's the one where you'll quit if it sucks. You're everything I've dreamt about my whole life.
Yeah.
Can I do it? So finding out you can do it is great. And then the second one is when you find out, it's going to take
some
work.
Yeah.
It's a little bit harder than I thought it
would be. It's a craft that you got to build. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like how long did you do it in Florida for them to then move to the big leagues, you know, LA or New York.
I'm trying to think. I think it was 4 months in Tallahassee, and I was like, I was starting my own shows, and I really hit the ground. Yeah, it's a small scene.
Shit.
So it's like.
Yeah, you did it very quick, you know.
4 months in, you got your own shows around town.
Well, Tallahassee. It's just like little, like oyster shacks and stuff.
I think that's still pretty impressive.
And it was, then I went to London, I kick myself this day. I didn't do any open mics. I didn't do comedy out there.
Oh, you didn't do anything. So why'd you go to London?
Where were you in London again? What college?
You know where, so FSU just has a campus out there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know where the Tottenham Court Station is? And
And
like British Museum. I was like in between.
Okay. Because I remember there's some great stand-up gigs at the colleges around London and stuff. I remember
it's amazing.
The London School of Economics used to have an amazing gig and stuff. So so I'm surprised you didn't get to continue the bug.
Yeah, and it would have been great to do it over there, you know, because it's such a different, I mean, I haven't been there, but, you know, just talking to Jay, it's a different scene and like, I think you also get better as a comic there, right?
I would have.
The
audiences are very smart, and you know.
Audiences are smart. There's lots of stages to get on and stuff, and plus the English are miserable, so that helps too. They're miserable. The weather is shit, so it drives everybody indoors, and they all get into, you know.
So you went to London, and then you stay there for a semester.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then just like traveled every week I tried to go to somewhere different, and it was just like a really fun time in my life. I feel like I was just like constantly flying around and seeing things. And I was traveling alone, which is like when I start now, I love to travel alone.
Yeah.
But
so you got used to traveling alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess that helps as like a comic because I think people
that's what
like
we do. Yeah. I mean, unless you start when the only time is when you're really big that you can bring people, your friends. But most of the times we're traveling by ourselves.
Well, that's another thing that we like to ask our guests because when we talk about like the big move, the move to the big city or the place that has a comedy club, like I'm assuming it's LA. Was it LA that you moved to eventually?
Yeah, for the Soup. I got an internship there.
All right. Yeah. That's really cool.
With Joe McKell?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
That's just it. So your independence is really valuable in that context because a lot of comedians, when we start out, like I lived in Edinburgh and I moved to London and I had to do it with other comedians because you get that little safety bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And then slowly a couple of the other comics like moved back to Scotland. You know, they didn't want London as bad. And then I was on my own. Then I had my independence. And I think a lot of people do that, you know, they can start out in a comedy troupe or
I did it by myself too,
right?
Yeah, I moved to LA by myself and just started by myself, but I think it works either way, you know.
Did you start comedy out here?
Yeah, I grew up in DC, and I did like one open mic in DC. I took an improv class in DC and actually moved to LA to keep doing improv. I did the Groundlings and stuff like that. And then after that, then I realized, I like more stand-up, and then that's what. But I did it by myself. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know anything. So it was like more of like, you know. But I did wanted to move here because that's where like the, it was either here or New York, and I used mm-hmm. to live in D.C., and I was like, it's too close. I know I can go back to D.C., you know. Mm-hmm. So I was like, let me go to L.A., and I did it. So so then you moved to L.A. to mm-hmm. do the internship, and then you kind of stay here?
Yeah, it was the last season of The Soup, so people are joking that I'm like, that you're, like the curse. Yeah.
But also, you got in under the wire, like to have an opportunity like that yeah. to come as an excuse. Can I just ask, how do you land an internship with The Soup? Because I bet you there's probably young aspiring comics who are like, how does that work? How do you find an internship with it?
This is actually a very weird story. We won a
I mean, I think
I'm not
I don't expect any less
in today's broadcast alone. This is really weird.
I'd be surprised if it's like very normal. I just made it on the website.
I'll see your dog ass licking story and it's about to get weird now.
When I was 12, we submitted for this, like, contest to be, like, on a dog date with Lou, the chihuahua in the show. And, and like, our chihuahua and their chihuahua went to the chateau, and we get to see a taping. And I was, like, 12, and it was my favorite show, and I was, like, so excited to meet him. And we, like, got to meet everyone who, like, runs the show and stuff, and it was cool. And my mom, she stayed in contact with this guy, Ed, who was the EP. Huh. And then I was looking for internships, and I was, like, hey, could you ask him if, like, they're looking for interns? And she's like, yeah, she could submit to this email. He put me in contact with the guy who hires all the interns. And they sent me, it's a very archaic process, a bunch of DVDs of like old TV shows. And you had to like find clips and write jokes about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, like old Degrassi and things like that.
Yeah,
and
then, right.
Oh, that's cool. So you actually, you know, that's where your jokes skills came into.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't
It wasn't a lottery shot.
You did it. You actually had to prove that you're doing it. Because that's a cool thing. It was an intern to actually work on the show. Because usually sometimes you get hired to be like an intern, getting coffee and shit, you know. But you actually were doing writing jokes.
It was cool. Yeah, we got to like watch, because there's so much TV you have to watch for that show. Yeah. And they have a really small a small crew. So, everyone had to like contribute and watch and like try to find clips, and I got a lot of stuff on the show. It was fun, and I met this guy Essay, who's like really cool.
Right,
he was the other intern, so it was like,
and it was cool.
He was cool.
No fucking flamethrower guns or razor blades out of nowhere.
It was awesome.
Still decided to go with
some,
women, but
at least there's good men out there.
Thank you. What's his name again? Shit, I forgot. Essay. Thanks, Essay.
He's a good man.
Thanks for covering your gender's ass.
Fuck. I was gonna be like, fuck, at least have one good man in her life, god damn it. That's cool. So that actually helped you then, obviously, now to work on with Tosh as well.
Yeah.
Because you had that writing skills already, and you know, with a Soup, and that's how you then, while you were here, that's when you started doing like stand up more while you were working on the show.
And I like kind of tried to like, it was really hard to break into. That's why I always like respect people who start here, because I feel like it's a really hard place to start. Like get people to know you, or like, because no one respects you when they don't recognize you. They're like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah,
that's very true. Yeah.
No, it's very hard. I mean, luckily I got to work here at the comedy store.
I moved here. What, 17 years into my
comedy.
That's
what I was wondering. You're like accomplished comedian. Yeah.
And
people are
I'm still and people don't recognize you, so they don't. They kind of treat you a bit shitty. It's weird. It is a weird thing to go, okay, fine. You know, one time when I first showed up here, there was one incident that happened. I was out having a cigarette. This is when I first moved here 5 years ago. It was Echoes Under Sunset.
Yeah, that's the first place I performed in LA.
Oh, is it? Okay, yeah. I think maybe that's one of the first ones you get. Yeah. So I'm doing Echoes Under the Sunset. I'm not sure if it's still a gig.
I think they closed down, yeah.
But there was a group of comedians, and I'm out having a cigarette, and then this group, and then one of them, they asked me for a cigarette, and I gave them cigarettes, and then they were talking about earthquakes, and I was like, oh, I was just in New Zealand, there was a big earthquake there, just trying to chat, because we're all on this show. And they're kind of like, yo, whatever, man, while smoking my cigarettes. And I thought, this is weird. And so then I ended up just smoking on my own. Uh-huh. And then when I went to go back into the building, I had to, like, because Echoes Under Sunset is right by the road. It's right by, like, a busy road.
Yeah.
So I kind of had to brush by them. And when I brushed by this guy, he went, "Don't touch me!" And they did a big thing. Oh. And like, "We don't know who the fuck you are." And I was like, "Holy shit, dude. I just, you just had a cigarette with me. I mean, everything's going to be fine. No panic." But it's very, that's what made me go, oh, this place is very kind of clicky and mean. So it can take a while to, you know,
climb
up.
Yeah, to meet the right people that are not mean and not fake and stuff like that.
Yeah, and maybe managed by the same person. Maybe that's
well, that's one of the reasons I met Justin was because, you know, like he, Justin, I mean, JJ, because you were performing at some show and he's like, "Hey, this guy's new here. You want to?" So I went to go see him and I was going
to send him to test me.
Well, no, I mean, that it wasn't for me. It was more for me because I was like, I wanted to see, because if he was funny, then I was going to hang out with him. If not, not, you know. I mean, and I tell him that. I was like, I saw him and I was like, "Oh, okay, he's good." Because if not, I'd be like, "Yeah, I'm not going to be hanging out with you."
Good,
you know.
Good call, Justin. Yeah.
So I want to go back quickly to when you were in London. You were saying you were traveling and you went, one of your favorite places was Amsterdam, right?
Yeah, I was obsessed with it.
Is there, I mean, obviously you probably have a lot of, is there something in particular why you like that Amsterdam? And if there's a story that, crazy story that you have?
Because I discovered mushrooms there, and it was by mistake.
I was going to guess mushrooms, but I
Why do you mean by mistake?
So this girl who had went there like a week before was like, "Hey," she's like, she had never smoked or anything. She's like, "You have to try the space cakes and you try the truffles." And in her mind, she thought truffles were like Godiva, like weed things. And they're like how they do mushrooms, because I guess it's the only, it's like a legal way of having them. And I went to one of the cafes and I was like, I'll get truffles. And they said, "Oh, we don't sell those here. You have to go to a smart shop. There's one down the street." And I went there and I looked at them, like, these don't look like chocolate. They look like walnuts. And they had like, and it was all like in Dutch, and it had like a dragon on it.
Philosopher's stones.
Yeah.
But the little one, they look like little poops.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are called philosopher's stones.
So, oh, really?
So that's actually mushrooms, but they sell
they're
it
mushrooms,
in,
yeah.
But they sell them like normal?
Yeah, they're in kind of like plasticky, not Tupperware, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Plastic cases.
But you can just go like, in any supermarket.
Yeah.
Well, they were called smart shops, and they sell them there. They're just like, yeah.
Comes in a package like broccolini.
Yeah. Really?
Basically. Yeah, that's kind of what they look like. And then there's the different types, yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's like not warning labels on it or anything. It's like, hey, this is going to make you see this God. Gonna, yeah.
Wow. And then you had those?
I just ate all of them. And
all of them? I ate all? All right.
Wow. And I was just going around the city, and I went to try boba tea, and then I like tried boba tea. It hit me, and I was like trying boba tea for like an hour. Like, I was like trying all the different bobas. And I went and just watched the ducks for like I was just like looking at ducks and laughing for like another hour.
That works.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is fun.
Time, that's fun.
Time flies.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I that's actually more, I guess, not as crazy as I thought. I was gonna.
Did you know that they?
That you're gonna. So like, well, I went to this underground, you know.
Yeah, you do just sit there giggling.
Yeah, I mean, I think with like any,
like, everybody knows what you're up to. I mean, it's Amsterdam, so they're like, yeah, we know why that person's giggling. Well,
that's cool. I like.
You know that they legalized it in Britain for 2 years. Yeah, I don't remember the years, but I'm gonna guess. 2002 to 2004, maybe 3 to 5, but they took them away because the British couldn't. There's something about the Dutch that they're like, yes, we have all of the drugs, we do all of the activities because we're responsible. You know, we have prostitution, have a good time, you know, enjoy life. And then for that 2 year window, the British went, oh, we can do this shit, we can go. And the government had just after two, if it was even 2 years, maybe after the first year,
like
the government
were
went, all
too
right,
crazy.
We're taking this away. You're all too mental. Oh, yeah, okay. People are, the English were like climbing tents at festivals and you know, just doing
too much.
Doing a little insane, like probably climbing their own buildings.
They weren't watching ducks and eating boba. Responsible Dutch people.
So the government had to go, all right, we're
no more of that.
You guys can go do that in Holland. That'll be better.
That's what I just want to see. All right, we're here. Yeah, I think we're almost in our
Because we don't have our sidekick.
We don't have a guy, so I was keeping time.
We have so many more questions.
I know. But I think, quickly, one little thing, because obviously you lived in outside the U.S. and also, like, travel. Like, is there one thing that you would, a custom or a tradition that you would like to to bring it to the U.S. or that people would
mushrooms.
Do it here?
Mushrooms.
Yeah, mushroom would be one. But is there something else that you're like, oh, I wish they would do it here?
You know what I would have said 2 years ago, and now I guess it's happening, is that when I was in Japan, I was like, I like this mask thing. And now it's like, because I like when people are, I think it's like really courteous. Yeah. And when you're sick, you wear a mask.
I like it.
And I did it at Tosh, and everyone acted like I was a weirdo for wearing a mask. And I'm like, I have a cold. I don't want to get other people sick. I feel like that's courteous.
That's the thing, too, of like since we've been wearing masks, and even in the travel, like we just did Buffalo and, I said, just doing Buffalo, Philadelphia, and another place last weekend. I'm like, I'm never getting sick anymore. I'm always feeling
especially when traveling. And I think it's like I'm going to keep wearing them when I travel for sure, you know, even if after this is thing over, you know, in the planes, you know, especially when you go to sleep. You know, you don't know if people are coughing right in you, you know, like while you're sleeping. So I'm just keeping
it's all shared air as well. So like circulation.
That's cool.
So.
I like that. I like that. Yeah.
I saw a homeless guy the other day with his mouth open. He was asleep with his mouth open. My first thought was, I want to drop raisins in there. And I was like, now I think about when I was on a plane. That my mouth is open. What if someone puts raisins in there?
That's why I have the mask.
But it protects you from that. From spontaneous raisins. You never know.
But I'm like, why raisins?
why is that where your mind went? Couldn't it be just anything?
Grapes?
A philosopher's stone?
I'm going to drop raisins in his mouth. He's so cute.
Do you carry around raisins ready?
Yeah, why is raisins?
Watch out for Madison Sinclair, everybody. She's got raisins on her. So don't fall asleep with your mouth open. Well, I'm dying to know, since you're a hardcore roadworking comic as well as a great writer of comedy, when you're on the road gigging, and I know you've seen like these gorgeous countries in Europe and stuff, but how do you prefer to kill the day? What's your first instinct? Like, say you're arriving in a city at 10 in the morning, you know, you check into the hotel, show's not till 8. What do you like to do to kill the time when you're in the day, when you're in the city?
Pastime or something.
I'll get good food. Like, I like if there's sushi in the area or something like that, like depending on where I'm at, I'll try to get whatever food is good in the area. But I also just like to like rework on my, because it's like the pressure of the show.
Yeah.
And I feel like I write more before the show and I have like a gun to my head.
Right.
And I'm just like have all the time in the world.
Yeah.
So I try to use, I see people like going to theme parks and like doing fun stuff. I'm like,
I'm the same way. I'm like, when it comes to like doing shows on the road, I can't, like, I got to have my time in the hotel to prepare mentally. Work on some bits, you know, but like, if I'm doing something, it's because I either have a off day or something like that. But like, I cannot be like, I'm going to go. Yeah, to a theme park for 8 hours and then like, gotta perform.
I gotta admit to you guys too, like, you already know this, of course, but one of my favorite things is when I get food when I get into town and I take it back to the hotel. I like the food back at the hotel, which I don't think you like as much. But
I don't mind that. I mean, no, I don't. No, now
It happened to me this weekend though. What? It was one, we were in Philadelphia, and we were so tired. It was a late night in Buffalo. We're in Philadelphia. And Forrest, working with Forrest Shaw and Jim Jeffries. And so Jim's exhausted, so he's going straight to his room. And I asked the concierge, I'm like, where's the closest Philly cheesesteak place? Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, the famous one is downtown 14 blocks. I'm like, I don't want 14 blocks. I just want to get a sandwich and go up to my bed and lie in bed and eat my sandwich and have a sleep. And then Forrest calls me when I'm out of the hotel and I'm about 100 meters from the sandwich place, and Forrest is like, wait for me, I want to get one too. And right away I was like, oh no, my alone time fun is gonna be ruined. But I love hanging out with Forrest. But sure enough, we got the sandwich and I kind of sat there
together.
And then we got to eat it together. And I'm like, so I ate a little bit and then I saved it. He's like, you're not, Forrest was literally saying, you're not gonna eat the whole thing. I was like, no, I want to, well, this is a time and a place for my food. I don't know, like, because I'll eat it in the hotel room. You said you eat at that little corner desk.
It depends. Yeah, I mean, I don't like eating stuff in the bed. Like, like, I'm sleeping there. Like, I don't want shit in my
on
bed.
Top,
I like it because it's not my bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's the time I get to do it.
True.
Yeah.
But
bed picnic.
I just, I just don't. Yeah, then I feel like I don't like sharing within. I don't know. That's just me. But like. I do like the thing of like, I want to, there when you're done, like after you're done, like even Ryan, when I was in Corpus Christi, after two shows of, you know, of 2 hours, you know, of shows and stuff like that, like I just want to like go to a hotel and just, you know, and just, that's it. Don't talk to anybody. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Sometimes it's like people are like, hey, you want to do this? You want to? I'm like, no, I don't want to get a drink right now. I don't want to do it. I just want to go to the hotel. I'm exhausted. And that's it. So that's one I understand doing that of like, I like alone time. You know?
I like it almost too much. Like it's gotten awkward sometimes. Well, even when it's after a show too. When it's after a show and you're hanging out with comics and say you're drinking and everything. Mm-hmm. And then when I get that last little bit of takeaway, there's a destination. Yeah. There's a destination I have in mind. And then often I'll be with somebody. It's usually 50-50 probably, but you're with another
comic, and then
they sit down and you got to sit and eat with them. You're like,
oh, I got into one. It's like when I got like, if I get an edible or something and then I'm like, and then I'm going into the, I remember I think at this lobby, I don't forget what hotel it was. I was going to a lobby and I'm like, I think I got like some chips or something. And then I ate it and then came back down and bought another like cheese. And then you could tell the guy's like, like, he's looking at me like, this guy is so fucking high. And I'm, like, pretending not to be high, which is the worst, you know. So it's like, but I like that because I'm, like, enjoying it, you know what I mean? But I think it's people don't understand. I don't think that when we do stand-up, especially when we do longer sets and stuff like that, it's, like, it's exhausting, you know what I mean? It's, like, physically and mentally. And, like, you know, to party afterwards or to do something, like, the next day or something, it's, like, I don't like it. I know it's, like, I mean, for me, it's, like, especially when you're doing headliner gigs, it's like you gotta, like, people are coming, you're the main guy or the main person. So it's like you don't wanna fuck it up, you know? So
it is weird without our producer, Brian. Shout out to Brian at home. Healing? Is that the word? Recovering?
Well,
whatever the word is.
Say he was feeling,
hey, Brian. He was feeling
sick,
a little bit. Yeah.
So we told him to stay home.
So it is weird without him.
I told him to get a test.
Yeah.
I don't think. He says, like, nah, I don't know. I was like, don't come.
I know two people who are like, I don't think I have COVID. It's I'm just have a little bit of a head cold, and I'm like, just get a test. And then they are positive.
Of course.
And I'm like, and they wanted to hang out with me.
Yeah.
And I was like, no.
That's why I told him. I was like, nope, don't come.
Yeah.
Just chill. Just, you know, get your test and then.
Yeah.
But this was great. I mean, we really, we didn't finish some of the questions, but it was more interesting what you were.
It was lots of fun.
For
thanks,
sure.
Thanks,
it was.
Thanks for being.
It was
awesome.
Great because we didn't have to. Sometimes we have to kind of like, you know, you brought up the all the topics, so
yeah,
we're like, oh, this is even better. So.
Was it awkward last week with Lisa Curry? You to ask her about dogs eating ass, and she was like, I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah, we tried.
You tried to.
We always.
Well, she
we
did.
Always
she
try.
Did mention that she. About a blowjobs about a roommate, right?
Okay.
So he had it was. Somewhere.
It did get there.
But it wasn't.
It wasn't as saucy.
Yeah.
It wasn't as saucy as.
I mean, you came in strong. You came in with all that. I was like, oh. I was like Neo in the Matrix. I was like, you were shooting like razors. This guy beat me up. My dad. And I'm
guy
like,
was
fuck,
beating me.
Fuck. So, what
about yeah. Do you like suitcases?
Window or aisle? What do you prefer? Oh, <my gosh. laughs>
But so where people can find you in the social media world?
Guys, do look up Madison. She is funny as fuck.
As you can, you know, you'll hear and see.
On Instagram, Madison Sinclair, and my TikTok's at Madison Comedy, because they didn't have Madison Sinclair on TikTok.
Yeah, like me, I have F. Ramos Comedy.
You're like, yeah.
Mrs. Sin.
I don't even know what I have on TikTok.
On TikTok.
It just
what do you do
exists.
In TikTok? Are you doing like, what do you put?
One-liners.
Okay.
Which is nice. It's
what do
like,
you mean?
So I do like, I start up a joke, and then I have like this like sound in the back that's like this dramatic music,
uh-huh.
And I have like a light change.
Oh,
and it's
cool.
Like a cool vehicle just to do because it's
yeah.
Like,
just to do
like,
the twist. That's right. I really
that's
like
smart.
That.
I mean, that's
really
and that's your cool. Bread and butter, like the right, you know. So because for me, I just put like little clips of my stand up, like little quick stuff.
Yeah.
But that's actually cool, you know, because I'm always because that's something I realize, and I think you realize it too. Is like with TikTok, it's like the big when it started, I was like, I don't want to be dancing. I mean, I'm too old for this shit. You know, it feels weird like doing all these things. You know, but like so, I just started putting. Clips of my stand-up and then sketches that I like to write or whatever, and that's it, and it's working. So you know, I wanted to ask like what you do, so that's kind of a cool idea too.
Yeah,
they're really fun, those the whatever you call them, vignettes
or whatever.
Well, that's
and then,
fantastic.
In so. Any shows that you're coming up or something that people can see you live or that you know
when is my next show? I just totally blanked. You should watch Madison PI the podcast and hear about how my dad cheated on my mom and shaved his balls.
Wow.
So
Wow, are those two things
they're combined. Connected? Yeah, because you shave your balls. She wanted to know why he shaved his balls random and like didn't say anything about it.
Crabs?
No, it was for another woman. And so because I feel like
he just showed up and shaved. Yeah, that's obviously like
that's like weird, right?
At first it was weird and also like bad move. Like what do you like? You cannot just be like all of a sudden like have your hairy balls or something like. Oh yeah, it's very suspicious.
You should have an excuse in mind, actually. If you must know that your wife's gonna ask, why have you shaved your balls, honey?
If I go and like
at least go, I thought I'd try something new. Or
yeah, like if I show with my fiance and be like, hey, I'm fully porn clean. I don't know how to.
Porn clean.
Like you see porn, they never have any hair, So I'm like, it'd be weird, but like, hey, what are you doing?
You have to like show. You have to like be like, hey, look, I did this for you.
I did this for you, or I'm having a colonoscopy.
Yeah, or not like, I'm gonna hit the road for a couple days. Don't be.
I'm going to Vegas. Why are you completely shaved? Why do you have a what is it called with the asshole?
Why did you bleach your asshole?
Bleach your
asshole. I don't even know.
Just for fun. It has nothing to do with another woman.
It's nothing to do with me in a week in Vegas.
Where's your dog?
Stanley? That's my dog.
Madison, you've been amazing. We have one final question that we always ask our guests before they leave, and that is, do you have a favorite piece of travel advice that you love to give to people?
If someone next to you on the flight is like, you know, like when there's someone in the middle seat and they're like coughing or they're gross or you just don't like the person sitting next to you, you can tell the stewardess that they threaten to kill the pilot and they will get kicked off the plane.
And they will kick off the
plane. Wow. You just anyone you don't like on the plane, just say that they said they're going to kill the pilot.
Wait, so have you done this?
No.
Okay.
But I thought about it. I was like, oh, this guy says he's going to kill the pilot.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And then the guy's like, I got bad throat. Like, sorry. He's like,
have you met Glenn Wold? There's a Canadian comedian who talks about how when he wants space, he asks them to sit the children next to him. And then everybody clears away.
That's funny.
He's got the whole flight to himself.
Have him in. Yeah.
Woolly, man. Yeah. That's
funny. Well, that's
very
good.
Great advice.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody uses it, please let
me know how it goes.
Yeah, I want to see how it goes.
Yeah. Well, thanks again, Madison Sinclair. Thanks for coming to hang out with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. And as always, subscribe to the podcast, follow us on Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, iTunes.
Click on the things.
Yes. Thank you. Bye, Luke.